is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Great to be with you today here at Bible Home Church. We're going to continue our wonderful series entitled The Chosen Vessel. The Chosen Vessel. Again, I want to thank each of you who have written to us and have been able, through the goodness of the Lord and your heart, to shower us with your blessings of prayer and your financial gifts as well. We thank you very much, and we want you to know that we'll be praying for you as your needs come up. It is a privilege to pray for the saints. So it works both ways. You pray for us, we pray for you, and God hears all our prayers. And we're in agreement together, and he honors that. We're going to have a song for you first, and we're continuing a series, I guess, of songs by Johnny Ray Watson. It's from his album entitled It's Beginning to Rain. Johnny Ray's a good friend of mine. He does our theme song, as you know here. And I wish, again, please don't write to me and ask me how you can get this album. It is not available. This is a album that Johnny Ray gave me some years ago. It's out of print now, and we have begged him to put it back in print. And I understand that he is going to do that, or he's at least working with the company that's got the rights to it or whatever, to have it republished again because it's got such beautiful music. But we're going to play some of the songs right here on the air. We can do that for you. Here's one that I like a lot. And, you know, it tells the story of a lot of people. There are a lot of people that, well, in their early childhood, they're taught about God, but then they veer away. They're like the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter. And then the Holy Spirit draws them back, and they return to the faith of their fathers. And here's Johnny Ray Watson to sing, I Have Returned.
I have returned to the God of my childhood, to that same simple faith as a child I once knew, like the prodigal son. I long for my loved one, for the comfort of home and the God I outgrew. I have returned to the God of my childhood, Bethlehem's babe, the promised Messiah. Jesus to me,
Jesus to me,
eternal deity. Oh, praise his name. I have returned to the God of my mother with an unfailing faith, for the child of her heart. She said, bring them up, son, in the way that you want them, and thank God when they're grown,
People here in this ministry will tell you, I don't go around wringing my hands every day. I don't. I go around with a smile on my face. I sleep good at night. How can I do it? You say, they could come in your house at any time and arrest you, hoke up charges, trump up charges against you. They could if God lets them. Well, what would you do if they did? Well, friends, I don't have an F-16 aircraft ready to take them on. I don't have a 50 caliber machine gun ready to go after them. If the SWAT team comes in tonight and wants to shoot my dog and beat me up and take my wife and I, strip us naked and whip us and take us away to a jail cell, I don't have the armaments to stop them. I don't have the physical strength to stop them. And even if I were to use a handgun, what would that do with such weaponry that they've got and capability? But let me tell you what I have. I have the armament that God's given me. I have the helmet, the breastplate. I've got everything that God wants me to have. I loved it when his disciples went to Jesus and said, you know, it's really dangerous. There are people who want to kill us. What should we do? He said, go out and buy some arms. They went out and they just bought a few. What, 3 or 4 weapons? They came back and they said, this is, you know, what we've got. What do you think? Christ said, that's enough. I think he was trying to tell them something, wasn't he? If they sent a Roman legion in to get them, that's not going to stop a whole Roman legion. But he said, that's enough. I don't think Jesus was very worried. In fact, he knew exactly what was going to happen to him. And he didn't stay up worrying about it. He stayed up praying about it. Think about that. Listen to this one here. That no flesh should glory in his presence, verse 29. Then verse 31 says that, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Friends, if you do have wealth, if you do have some strength in this world, then glory in the Lord and thank him for it. Don't say, look at all of my talents, look at everything I've done. Friends, I've written almost 40 books now, but I don't look at them on the shelf and say, look at what I've done. I say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given me to do. The talents, the gifts, the capabilities that I have. Because I want to tell you something. I know this much. If I leave God's side today, I may never write another book. I don't think that I have. When I look at that those books on my bookshelf, I tell Wanda sometime, how could I have ever written those books? I don't know how I did that. Sometimes I read the words, the pages of my books, and I say, is that me that said these things? I don't. That must be a smarter person than me. And I'll tell you what I think it is. Wanda will admit this too. God gives me the power. When I start on a book, He gives me power. Now, please don't understand. I'm not saying my books are inspired like the Bible, but they are inspired. I'm not saying they're perfect like the Bible, but to the extent that I glory God in those books, they are perfect. I want them to be perfect, but that's up to God. I suspect that God always makes sure that every book has a few little flaws in it or imperfections. So no one will ever compare Tex Mars' books with the Bible. I guarantee you that. I don't want them to. It's enough for me to quote the Bible in my books. That's what gives my books power. I've had people writing to me and saying, Tex, if you just took out the Bible verses in your books, they would sell better. The scriptures offend so many people. And you're such a smart man. You don't need those Bible verses. Why don't you just talk about all those things that you know about? Now, these people are ignorant, and they mean well, but they're not doing the right thing. And let me tell you something. It's not my words in those books. It's the scriptures that give them the power. I would prefer to strip my book of my words than strip them of the scriptures. Well, in any case, I go on with chapter 2. It says, and I, Paul is speaking here, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul says, I wasn't a great speaker. I'm not an orator. I speak with weakness and trembling. How could God have made and created and transformed Paul into a man with such miraculous powers of persuasion that the whole Gentile world was changed, made upside down, and we now have the Christian church today because of Apostle Paul being transformed by God. In himself, he was not able. He was not capable. But he was a chosen vessel. My friends, do you look in the mirror and say, I'm too weak, I'm too impotent, I'm too unable, I'm too inept, I'm too dumb, I'm too ugly, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too black, I'm too white, I'm too whatever you think you are. Well, don't leave it at that. You need to add the but. But I have God on my side. But I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. And thus, my friends, whatever God gives you to do, whatever ministry He gives you to do, full-time or part-time, and in a sense we're all full-time ministers, you can do it. And you can lick the world. Say, well, Tex is into that positive thinking now. I'm not into positive thinking. I've always been into positive thinking. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. The difference between me and Norman Vincent Peale and Paul Yonggi Cho and Robert Schuller is that I add in Christ. You can't do anything in yourself. There's nothing in you. You're right when you look in the mirror and say, I'll fail. You're absolutely correct. You will, unless you have God on your side. Moses couldn't have made it. He had a speech impediment, they say. But he led the children of Israel out of Egypt with a speech impediment. Zacharias was just a little short guy, couldn't even see Jesus, had to climb up in a tree. I bet you they made a lot of short man jokes about him, but he became a giant of the faith. Peter, well, you say, well, what was wrong with Peter? Well, he was a hothead. I guess he was sort of a Tex Mores kind of a guy, righteous, full of righteous indignation, a hothead. Oh, he had a temper, they say. Now, somehow God worked through that. Some say that Mary Magdalene had a bad reputation, but not after she was saved. Thomas was a doubter, a skeptic. Well, Jesus fixed that, didn't he? Well, he can fix you too. Now, a lot of people say, well, but my looks, I'm not attractive. I'm not handsome. I'm not beautiful. How do you know what God thinks you are? If you accept Jesus Christ and you're a chosen vessel, you're beautiful in His sight. And isn't His sight the only thing that counts? And this body, my friends, is going to be old and decrepit. Some say it might have been a good thing for Elvis Presley and John Kennedy to die young. The image that people have of them in their minds are handsome, statuesque. Well, maybe. We see the beautiful images of Elvis singing us songs. We see John Kennedy giving great speeches. I'm telling you, what do you think their flesh looks like today, my friend, in that grave? And if they didn't come to know Jesus Christ, they'll never have bodies like that again. But you can have an immortal body that's beautiful forever in the sight of Christ. Let me tell you a little secret that a lot of people don't know. Please don't get mad at me for telling you this, but Jesus was not a handsome man. I told this in a church meeting one time. A woman got mad at me. She called me names. She got angry at me. How dare you say that Jesus was not a good-looking man? Of course he was. I guess you could have added, I've seen his pictures on the wall. You know, these artist conception of Jesus. He's a handsome man. But listen to what Isaiah chapter 53 says. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He, that is Jesus Christ. Now, this is the prophecy of the coming Lord and Savior. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Men didn't want to see Jesus. For one thing, he was not a handsome man. He didn't have any beauty that people should desire him for that beauty. No form nor comeliness. I suppose, you know, he hadn't read all those books they have now, you know, Thin Thighs in 30 Days, or, you know, Muscular, is it called the Abs or whatever? And I don't know. I guess he didn't work out at the gym around the corner. He didn't have all that physical exercise equipment they sell on TV. And he didn't want it. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire. Makes me want to cry a little bit. He was a despised and rejected man, a man of sorrows, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Some people feel like that on their own self today. Some people feel like you're despised and rejected. You're not alone. Jesus felt that way. He had the disciples with him, but most left him, and one of the 12 turned out to be a devil that betrayed him. Have you ever been betrayed? I've been betrayed before. It hurts. But Jesus is victorious. Jesus is Lord. You would be wise whether you are comely and attractive or the most ugly, despicable creature according to the world to follow in his footsteps. And your beauty will be eternal. Well, number four, trait. The chosen usually are very needy, desperate, broken, seeking, hungry, and thirsty for God. Listen to this. When Jesus went to Nazareth, and he went into the synagogue, and he stood up to read, verse 17 of Luke chapter 4 says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. And when he had opened the book,
he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." You say, "I'm brokenhearted." Well, you have someone to help now, friends. "I need deliverance." Well, you've got somebody to deliver you. You say, "I'm blind, I don't understand, I have no understanding, I need sight." He will give it to you. You say, "I'm bruised, I'm broken by the world." He will set you at liberty if you're bruised. The chosen usually are. And they need healing. And coming to accept Jesus will give you the health that you need spiritually. Number five, the fifth trait, you're chosen from the foundation of the world. A lot of people don't know that. Did you know that? You've already been chosen, but you don't know it. But you better get busy and accept the Lord and trust Him. Revelation chapter 17, verse 8 will tell you, your name has been written, if you're chosen of God, in the book of life from the foundation of the world. God, He's known you a long time, hasn't He, before you were ever born. I've got to move on here. We're about out of time. Here's something that for you to know about the chosen. The chosen have to have on the required wedding garment. You say, what? That's right. You've got to have the breastplate of faith, the helmet of salvation. You can read, if you will. Again, I'm running out of time. Oh, I had so much to talk about. Well, maybe we'll talk about it at a later time. Matthew chapter 22. Begin with verse 8. You're going to see about those that were invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But they were invited, and the servants of the king went into the highways and gathered them together, as many as they could find, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. But when the king saw the guest, he saw there was a man there who didn't have on a wedding garment. And he said, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And the man, my friends, it says, and he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." My friends, you better have on the right wedding garment. Let me tell you how to get dressed. Take on Jesus Christ. That's it. Take on Christ. Now, number seven, and the final thing we're going to talk about today, the chosen vessel is willing to be transformed by God's hands. Are you going to allow God to work in your life? Are you going to be master of your own ship? They say Timothy McVeigh said that he was captain of his own destiny. No, he wasn't. He was led by the devil. Will you allow God to transform your life? Will you be a chosen vessel? Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8 says, "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, and Thou our potter, and we all are the work of Thy hand." Transformed by the hands of God.
Well, friends, this is Tex Morris. It's been my great pleasure to bring you this series of messages on the chosen vessel. You know, I want to encourage you to write to us here at Bible Home Church. Let us know of your needs in prayer. We'd love to pray for you. And as I've said so many times, prayer does change things. So jot us a little note. Whatever your need is, whether it's a loved one who's in some kind of a difficulty, or maybe you yourself, maybe you need a better job, your finances are really in tragic shape, or maybe your concern is for a lost loved one. Whatever it is, my friends, whether you're in a state of depression or whether you're happy, we'd like to hear from you, and we'd like to pray for you as well. Especially those of you who have some kind of an illness in the family, I believe God is absolutely the greatest healer of all. He can speed the minds and the hands of physicians, of course, but He is Himself the great physician. And we'd like to pray for your physical needs as well. So we do want to hear from you. We always thank you for the love gifts to our ministry and what we're doing here. We want you to know that we will honorably use your love gifts, offerings, and tithes for the glory of God. We have a number of ministries, of course. We work with the boys' home out here, and periodically we will be continuing to send some financial funds to them. We also work with the children's home, the orphans' home in Round Rock, Texas, in their projects to help those broken homes and those young girls who are so desperately in need. Then we send Bibles to missions overseas, to preachers and missionaries in countries like Nigeria and Chad and Ethiopia, some of the more desperate countries of the world. We will continue to do that with your help. We want to thank you, and I know God will give you the greatest blessing. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.